Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Creative Workout Podcast. This is episode 63 and it is August the 30th, 2025. In the room today, you have myself, Greg, we have Alessandra, Bobby B, Shadows and Devon. And we were talking earlier about curved balls and practicing and all things of that nature. And today's question is actually dedicated to Alessandra, who not only broke her hand, but broke it in three places. But I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that story. She's holding up a big cast on her hand. Today's question is, what happens to your creativity when life throws you a curveball? What's your first reaction? And how do you adapt to that? Bobby B, we'll go to you. What do you think?
Thank you, Greg. My old project manager head jumps right in and says, is this fight or flight? What's the level of threat? You know, where could this go? When it comes to creativity, do I need to park all that and find the appropriate place for this to settle before I consider going back to creativity? And other times, of course, there's the, you know, it's not that big a deal. Just flow with it and don't pour too much energy into it, because I used to really fret over things and think that it was up to me and only me and without any assistance to assess and all that. And of course, that just puts me into brain freeze. So no, at this point now, it's more often than not that big a deal.
Thank you, Bobby. Alessandra.
Yeah, if I'm not a classic example, I'm a dire warning. So, 2025 has been just a really remarkable year. It's been a year of dreams coming true, because last year, 2024, I really spent the year focused on dreaming. Like, what's the next level thing? What would be a dream level experience of being a creative workhour founder? What would be a dreamy experience of participating on the Hive blockchain? What would be the dreamy experience of? So that was 2024. So 2025 has been living those dreams. One of those dreams is becoming a member of the preeminent clarinet ensemble in the English-speaking world, which is the British Clarinet Ensemble. And being the new kid on the block, I have worked and fretted and stayed connected with the group, even though it made me just kind of a nervous wreck. But I played my first recordings, my first concert abroad. The British Clarinet Ensemble actually hosted a recording studio created inside of the Copford Parish Church. And for 4 days, the recording studio was built inside of that small church. Remarkable place. The oldest church paintings, not paintings that are hung, but paintings that are in the actual walls of the church, the oldest in the English-speaking world. So we're sitting in this 1,100-year-old church for 4 straight days of recording. And the night before, this only happened last week, the night before it's time to take the train down to record this album, I trip in the garden in our Leeds apartment on the sidewalk. Now, you throw your hands out in front of you to catch yourself, right? And that works really perfectly on the right side of my body. On the left side of my body, however, my hand turns. And basically, what was my very delicate left clarinet playing hand becomes a crushed taco shell. So as I talk to you, I can tell you that that was my freaking curveball, right? And when it happened, I've been hit by a car as a pedestrian before. It did not come close to the level of shock and pain. And as a result, going into those 4 days of recording, it was impossible to play the clarinet. So there was my curveball. In my own head, it was, that's it, I'm out. In my fear and maybe a bit of drama sinking, the thought occurred to me, I may never play again. And when I caught myself thinking that, I'm like, stop that right now. You stop that. because we're going to play. Oh, we're going to play. So connecting with you, my friends here, I'm like, I'm going to do this crazy thing. I don't know how, but I'm still going to go to those recording sessions. 8 hours a day for 4 straight days, we recorded. Now, could I play clarinet? Not per se, but one of those pieces required percussion. And the percussive instrument was not a timpani or a bass drum or a snare or a glockenspiel or any of that. No, it was clapping as a percussionist claps. But that takes two hands, unless it doesn't. So I worked out different kinds of sounds, and I just kind of went to the conductor and I said, are you looking for a sound that sounds like this? And he put his hands together and I said, okay, that's the sound to match. So you show me, you keep playing that. And I came up with a sound that I could make using my right hand on the side of my right knee. And that matched the sound he was after. So no, I wasn't principal clarinet. I wasn't clarinet at all on these recordings, but I was the percussive lead on those 2 pages of the score that required. So the curveball is the crushed hand. The adaptation we'll talk about in a second, but how I got through those first few days and all of those 36 hours of recording that album was thinking outside the box. And who knew that you could clap on the side of your knee on anything other than a little kid's school song and still be able to participate in this professional recording. So I'm grateful that I stopped myself when my head started to go into drama. Blah, blah, blah. I never play. No, that's not what's happening here, because I get to write the story. I get to write the story. So we'll come back to what happens next. But I really want to hear from you, Greg. Because I know you want to send it around the room, but since we are here and we're having this heart to heart about what we do in our creativity, when a curveball hits.
And talk about a curveball. If this is not a curveball, I don't know what is. But, you know, this isn't scripted. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, if you've got a background of trauma, sometimes the first reaction could be, oh, no, it depends what that curveball could be. It could be a physical injury. It could be your circumstances changing, an illness. You know, I've got a friend who has Parkinson's. He's part of our chronic pain group. He loves to paint buildings, and he can no longer paint. He's adapting by pencils. I think you've got to try and keep on keeping on and try and show up. That will get you some traction, and it can put you in front. Sometimes it's opposite action. Whatever you want to do, do the opposite. Whatever you think of doing, do the opposite, and you'll probably get it right. So it's when you don't want to do, you know, the work, when you don't want to be creative, try anyway. I think if you're into journaling or something like that, or you want to try journaling, this is a great tip for you. Set the timer for 30 minutes and sit with a pencil and a piece of paper and just write what comes to mind. And if it gets to 29 minutes and 30 seconds and you think this is stupid, write that down. The exercise is not necessarily in the writing and the quality of the writing. It's in the centering, it's in the grounding. And practice makes perfect. And that's another thing. Practice makes perfect. And I don't throw you a curveball and swing it back to you, but practice is something that you were not able to do with the injury at a time when you absolutely needed to. Pretty big deal by all accounts. You weren't able to practice. I'm going to knock the curveball back to you because you weren't able to practice. And we were talking about practicing and showing up, but how did the inability to practice, the adaption, do you want to continue that story?
Well, so that I answer the right question, Greg, the practice before the recordings or during the recordings?
You have the floor, the choice is yours.
Well, actually, before the recordings, I've been dealing with some really just distressing kinds of things at an interpersonal level. And being somebody who brings the PTSD is just part of my wiring. So if I'm going to show up authentically in my creative life, PTSD is that suitcase that always ends up with me whether I think I packed it or not.
Unwilling passenger, right?
Yeah, yes, the unwilling passenger. Yes. So part of doing the, you know, practice not perfect, and there are times when the trauma alarm goes off, and the trauma alarm can tell you to evacuate the building, or it can tell you to hide. And sometimes for me, part of how I hide is I stop writing or I stop practicing. And being able to identify, that's the hiding behavior. I'm hiding because I feel a threat. And that does affect the creative life. So the first thing that I do is I tell somebody. And oftentimes that's Devin and Shadows. And I can just say, even though it feels really vulnerable, I can just say, yeah, I'm not playing because I don't feel safe. And learning how to work with that is part of not so much the curveball, but the long tail of the curveball. And that's okay too. And what I found happen during one of the evenings that we were doing those 4 days of recordings is I sat at a table with three other professional musicians. And one of them said to me, when I had my two children, I just couldn't cope with anything other than that. And I stopped playing. And I just swiveled toward her and looked her in the face. And I looked at the other players that were at the table. And I said, and I think because I need to say this to myself, there is no shame in taking a pause. There is no shame in taking a pause. And even today, I need to hear that for myself. There's no shame in taking a pause.
You were talking a little bit earlier about that too. But yeah, we'll pass it around the room a little bit more. We're talking about creativity. What happens when life throws you a curveball? How you adapt to that? What your first reaction is? Shadows, how about you?
Depends on the curveball. You know, if the power goes out for a day or two or five, I'm not going to be doing much creativity. But if it's another issue and, you know, all my tools are available, I might even just do the creativity to avoid the other issue. One never knows.
Right. There's always candlelight, right? They have candles up there.
Yeah, but that doesn't keep the computer running.
Oh, that's true. We had a really, really, really big rubber band, or maybe you could put Hobo and the other kitty on a big treadmill and wire a turbine.
Have you ever tried to herd cats?
No, but I watched a Mythbusters episode the other day where they were trying to herd cats on Mythbusters.
Yeah, that worked well, didn't it?
Yeah, not really, but yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Shadows. Devin, how about yourself? Creativity, when life throws you a curveball, what's your first reaction? How does it affect your creativity? First reaction and...
First of all, I can't believe I'm participating in a podcast using a sports metaphor. So, you know, curveball, I don't know much about hockey, but I think we're talking about like something disruptive. And I tend to just stop. My creativity, it just stops while I try to deal with it. But if the curveball continues, then sometimes the creativity sneaks back in as a way of coping with it. And that's often a good thing. If the curveball is just going to be there, and I'm going to have to continue to work around it, then oftentimes creativity gives me an outlet, gives me a way of, you know, self-care that I can sort of get my head into a different space and shift my state, as Tony Robbins would say, for a bit. So yeah, it can be both things. It can be both a showstopper, but then it can be sometimes a facilitator.
Thank you, Devin. Alessandra, this is an interesting conversation, but I want to take just a pause for a moment because we did touch on the topic of trauma and things like that, trauma and crisis. And, you know, if you're in crisis, if you're in the United States, you can dial 988. It's the crisis number. Add that to mind just in case this touched on something. And if you're in crisis, share that number with someone. It could save a life. But Alessandra, great conversation, great episode. Thoughts?
Yes, and the episode goes so fast because we're committed to keeping these episodes in bite-sized pieces so that you can both start and finish them before another squirrel runs along for your to grab your attention. But what I did want to say is just to drive the point home with sports analogies. There was something that Shatters and I were talking about just a couple of weeks ago. And it was about, and I think this will be a podcast topic for us, the concept of living a five-star life is not about money. It's about getting dialed in what you really want. So that if you were giving yourself experience stars, that what you're doing with your life's energy and resources is five-star, highly recommend. That's what we mean by five-star life experience. And so pulling that idea over into seeking treatment for this hand injury, because, oh, it turns out that this thing is not just broken in three places, it's crushed in two. So I wouldn't have known that if I just left it in the cast that was given to me right after I took the fall. But playing clarinet, or maybe for you, it's sports, or maybe for you, it's yoga. Maybe for you, it's being able to type like a fiend as fast as you can with two hands. But if your five-star life experience involves having two working hands, then you do want to absolutely pull a five-star team into the fix. So I just sent the word around, like, I'm flying back to Boston. And I know there's a lot of sports teams in Boston. Does anybody have any leads into whom I could see that is a specialist for hand injuries for musicians or sports people or artists or what have you? And I walked into the building of Mass General Brigham yesterday to the ortho. At the department is called the Hand and Arm Service. So everybody in that building is just working on getting people back in the game, literally. So I walk in and here are the logos for the Boston Red Sox and the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution. And I'm like, these people know what they're doing. So now as the adaptation continues to get better and to return to music or clarinet or whatever being dexterous is all about. Yeah, that surgery is on Tuesday. And I think it's going to be kind of a bionic hand for a little bit, but we'll see what happens. So literally this curveball is being treated by therapists and physicians and surgeons who do nothing but get people back on their feet, back into the game after they have been hit by one of life's curveballs. So we hope that this topic gives you something to think about of how to, one, when the curveball hits and that first reaction rises, is recognize which ones are helpful. Like when that thought of mine was, I'll never play again, boo-hoo. I was like, no, stop. I get to write this story. I don't know how I will adapt, but I know that I will. And that's something that we can all do. We can figure something out because that's creative and it's what the brain wants to do. And I really do feel like I've been training for this right now because being able to plug in a phone or comb my damn hair or figure out how to get some lipstick on my face, all of these things are incredible challenges right now. But if we're following the beauty of neuroscience and plasticity of the brain, like literally the best thing that is happening for my brain right now is that I have a bum wing because I can literally feel my brain adapting in different ways to see things, different ways to try things, establishing what things are necessary and which ones I can set aside because it's just not important right now. So I don't know. I may not wear makeup for 6 weeks. It's fine. Nobody cares. There's a lot of things that are perfectly fine and nobody cares. But what we want to do is just open up to the possibilities of how can we adapt? And who's to say what happens next is not better than what we had before?
Very true. Is it that time again?
I don't know. I had to take my watch off my left wrist.
I think it is. It's that time again when you've wasted some perfectly good time listening to the Creative Work Hour podcast when you could have been doing something else, but no, you tuned in anyway. But how about you? What happens to your creativity when life throws you a curveball? What's the first reaction that you have and how do you adapt to that? Let us know. You can visit us at creativeworkhour.com.